So I'll ask Mr. Talbot to bring up, if he will. Let's go slides first. We'll start with slides. And I'll ask that you have, in fact, let me go show of hands here. How many of you have, do you have handy or have access to that worksheet that I sent off? Can I go show of hands in the room? Okay, good. So here's the beauty of one of the things that home office allows is during certain, there are six, in fact, I went back and read these, there are six variations for Sabbath service. And you're like, wow, I didn't know there were that many, and neither did I. But one of the variations here was or is an interactive Bible study, and we can go interactive with pastor or speaker in congregation, or we can go interactive with groups. We're going to play a little bit with both of them today. So you'll see here shortly. I had asked you to go and read this booklet, 24 pages roughly. There, no, I think it's like 40 pages. I think it was 24 in print once I got in here. But that said, I'm going to pull content from there, and I'll tell you the exact same thing that I oftentimes tell my students. My job in terms of reading anything isn't to deal with the minutiae that you're supposed to have read along the way. My job is more like the skeletal system. I'm going to use something that's more like Dr. Holliday's way. I'm a skeleton on which you're going to hang flesh from all the reading you've done along the way. So I'll pull some content that comes from the book. At times you're going to see me even vary a little. I'll go wandering off a direction and then come right back to the content. But it'll aim to help you process what's in that booklet well. It'll give us collectively an opportunity to focus on a certain topic and work our way through that topic. So I'll start with three pictures that you can see on the screen. The first one happens to be Immanuel Kant, German scholar and philosopher, and he said the following. The existence of the Bible as a book for the people is the greatest benefit which the human race has ever experienced. Every attempt to belittle it is a crime against humanity. If we go from right to left, next that is Queen Victoria of the UK. And she offered this. That book, the Bible, accounts for the supremacy of England. England has become great and happy by the knowledge of the true God through Jesus Christ. So she acknowledged from where England drew its power. And then the individual on the farthest right for you is probably very familiar to many of us. President Ronald Reagan, 40th President of the United States, said the following. Of the many influences that have shaped the United States into a distinctive nation and people, none may be said to be more fundamental and enduring than the Bible. These quotes then came from the booklet that you read, How to Understand the Bible. And the booklet itself begins with kind of a simple general premise, and it does so by advancing one overarching question that the booklet then answers. It starts with the following. As you can see, the Bible is the world's best-selling book, and yet it is also described as the world's most, or I offer here, most misunderstood book. And we might then ask ourselves why. And the front end of the booklet, you know, deals with this content. If you will, I'm going to ask that you take up your Bibles and go with me to Matthew 13. And Matthew 13, I will go just to a couple of verses here as we start this Bible study, reminds us that everyone is not given the opportunity at this time to understand God's word. And Matthew 13, if you remember here, is a parable. We oftentimes, most book Bibles will say, as they offer headers, parable of the soils. And I'll ask, if you will, to start reading with me in verse 1. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to him. So that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where they did not have much earth. And they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because there was no root, they withered away, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 40. And then he offers that line that we read multiple times through the gospel accounts and elsewhere. He who has an ear, who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples had to have been, you know, taken back by this, perplexed by, what does this all mean? He's talking about something. So how does it fit with us? Verse 10 gives us an indication of that. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? Why can't they understand these things? Why do they seem challenging to understand? And he offered the following, and he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, or mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, as it says here, but to them it's not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Now there's nuances of meaning that I know we've been through this parable many times. He continues in verse 13, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. You know, there is a reminder here that even as God's word has been well widely published for some time, and I was reading a separate article about the idea that there are 7.7 billion people right now, roughly, on Earth, and at least a third, we know, profess themselves to be Christians. I mean, if we're dealing with the math, we're looking at what, two to three billion thereabouts, that range. But few understand what you have in your lap if you have a Bible in your lap today or you have on your phone. What God has provided you and me is a unique understanding of his truth. And it's one that we can't take lightly. And the booklet talks about this. You know, I'll just reference a couple of different verses, but most notably Matthew 22, verse 14, for many are called, but few are chosen. You and I have a privilege at this time to be called by God. And with that comes an opening of, as noted here, mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. If we add to that 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23, that talks about the resurrection, or God's people being resurrected in a given order, what we quickly come to in terms of an understanding of how he calls is he calls people at different times. So when we look at this, some don't make sense of God's word because they haven't been called. We might ask ourselves then a follow-up question, well, would it still benefit them to read God's word? And we would, I think, all be in agreement quickly to say yes. I mean, if we go backward to those individuals, Immanuel Kant, Queen Victoria, Ronald Reagan, we wouldn't trust that they had the same understanding as those who happen to be called first fruits. But at the same time, have they benefited from knowing God's word? And I would offer yes, and you would probably offer the same. And we have that justified if you go with me to one other section of Scripture, Romans 3. If you remember what's talked about here in Romans about Jews and Gentiles, Paul is writing this letter to the church at Rome. And here on the front end of Romans 3, verses 1 and 2, as he talks about this, he's talking about how God calls people. And in calling people, one of the points that he makes here is a recognition that even those who may not be called, those who have God's truth, who know God's word, who read it daily, and many of our forefathers, as we end this Bible study today, will tell you that they read it daily, that they poured through this book, that it's a book unlike any other book, because it's granted written by men, but it's inspired by God, completely different than any other book. And what we find here is a recognition that even those without understanding are blessed by reading what's in God's word. Romans 3, and I'll start reading in verse 1. What advantage then has the Jew, or what is the profit of circumcision? Much in every way. Chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God. What's he offering here? Well, he's saying, is there advantage for those who happen to have God's word but maybe not follow God's truth? Yes. I mean, realistically, What God provides is a blessing in reading this guidebook to life. Even if we have partial knowledge, what we find is that they are blessed. We oftentimes talk about blessing and cursing chapters. When we read and follow God's word, we're blessed. Our lives are better. And in following the handbook that God has provided, everything about our lives, no matter how much knowledge we have as to where it goes or what it all means, we still receive blessings from that. So the booklet addresses this just briefly. I want us to really delve into it, though, from the vantage point of all understanding God's truth. What does this then mean for us? Those who are called at that time, at this time, whether they know it or not, benefit from God's word. You and I benefit greatly, and I think we do know that. So let's work our way through understand the Bible. And I cannot do this exhaustively. In fact, I thought to myself, how many lists and points do we go at? Well, I know that there are 15 principles up front and 7 threads and 7 different ways to approach it. Too much for an hour. So we're going to piecemeal our way through some of these sections, and I'm going to leave the rest to you. And our aim here is to understand how we can be better stewards of God's word. That term steward to me is an important term because it means utilizing and managing the resources that God has given us. So today, let's go through the booklet, go through it, especially as we comprehend and understand its application with God's word. I thought what we'd do is I'll give you a sense of how this all works. Here is the breakdown that I have. I'm going to have us, first of all, have you play Kahoot. And Kahoot, if you've never played this, it's going to get crazy here. You got to pick up your phone. I know every other minister or pastor or speaker in the world would say, put the phone away. I'm saying pick the phone up. And I'm going to ask you to do something for me. And so even as we move through this, we'll play a Kahoot. I need to find out some information from you. And then we'll work our way through an outline of the booklet in general. We'll talk about 3 sub-questions, primary sub-questions the booklet asks. And we'll answer those, we'll summarize them, and then we'll make our way down to that worksheet that I had you fill out, because we'll play with that worksheet and its contents. And you're going to do some sharing with those around you, but at the same time with the group in general. So we'll make our way all the way there. So if we're going to play Kahoot, you got to go to Kahoot. And I need you to, in fact, if you will go in, you're going to bring up your phone and go to Kahoot.it. Kahoot, obviously we're all on the web. Kahoot.it. And when you get there, you can either put in your name or you don't have to put in your real name. You can make up, you know, Billy Bob, whatever name you want to put in there. But you can make up whatever name you want, and we're going to start putting you in so that we can run a 10-question quiz/poll. A 10-question quiz/poll. And maybe I should be asking while I have everyone typing, and I would guess that as this works for me, the back left side of the room is all going to raise their hands when I ask this question. How many of you have ever played Kahoot before? Can we go show of hands? Okay, so I'm getting a large show of hands and then some sprinklings all the way through. So we're going to get everyone in there. Let me give you about, 30 more seconds to get in there. And some of this will be polling and some of this will be quizzing you on what was in that booklet. So are we in there? In fact, I have no problem with this. If Mr. Talbot, can you play the Kahoot music? I have no issue with us playing Kahoot music when we do this. There we go. There's the computer Kahoot music. It's not nearly as nice as Mrs. Royster's special music. That much I've figured out. That was an excellent message in that song. Okay, are we all in? How many more? Anyone need more time? Okay, we got just a few hands, so I'll give you about 15 more seconds, and then we're going to send you into Kahoot. Some of these people I don't even know. I know Madeline. Some of these names are easy, like Isaiah and others. Mr. Cubic got in here. I didn't even know. He's in. Now I'm curious if Mr. Cubic, good to have you, if you're watching. I have no idea if he's in here. Okay. So I think we're ready to start. Would you start us? I figured out it's probably easier for you to start up in the upper right-hand corner. And I'll offer this following, and you'll note something here. You'll get 30 seconds to answer the questions, and it's going to show up on your phone, and they're color-coded corresponding to the question. Did you read How to Understand the Bible for today? Oh, what in the world is he doing? It's red for yes, blue for no. That has nothing to do with Republican or Democrat. Red for yes, blue for no. You got 10 seconds to answer on your phone. 5 seconds. And we'll get a nice breakdown of who read and who didn't. Here we go. 33 came in. 20 of us read, 14 of us didn't. Okay, ripple across the room. Okay, so we know, we have an idea how many read. Let's keep going. Oh, Mr. Cubic, sorry. This is so unfair. He's keeping point totals. Unbelievable. Okay, next. This is the part of the game I couldn't turn off. How much of How to Understand the Bible did you read? So the first one, the red says none, blue says one third, yellow says two thirds, three says basically all of it, or green says all of it. 10 seconds. Two, one. Okay, so 14 of us read it all. That's quite good. And then we have that one contingent who just said, no, I'm not going to do this. Okay. It actually says, I had written there, we had a booklet to read. That's what I added to that. Okay, let's go to the next question. Let's go to question three. We're going to run a poll on this one. Which section of the booklet did you find most helpful? So the red one, can you read that? Is the Bible software and resources. The blue are the 15 things we should keep in mind when approaching the Bible. The yellow is 7 principles we should follow to read and study the Bible. And green is 7 scripture threads or topics we can focus on. So what 15 things you should keep in mind when approaching the Bible, that got the highest response, 40% of us. And if we couple that even with those 7 principles we should follow to read and study the Bible, that one we got 33%. Okay, we are up. How are we doing? Are we surviving so far? Yeah, I got a whole lot of, I got some grimacing faces out there. At home, I can't tell what you're doing. I trust you're playing along. Let's go to the next question. This is a quiz question. Uh-oh. Here we go. Which version of the Bible does the booklet say is the most accurate? New Living Translation, red. Blue, King James Version. Yellow, New King James Version. Green, Revised Standard Version. Ten seconds. Okay, King James Version, nice. 15 of us did this, the bulk. Do we have to remember by percentages? What is the percentage there in terms of accuracy? Ooh, we're getting into minutia here. What is this? 98%. Way to go. 98.33. Deanna Hooper. Way to go. That was. Oh, was that Wendy Englehart? You're throwing your voice. Forgive me. I'm watching Deanna's mouth move and Wendy. Wendy's saying the things. Forgive me there. Wendy Englehart, forgive me so much. Okay. So let's go to the next question. Here we go. Poll question. Which version of the Bible is used most often in UCG literature? American Standard in red. God's Word Version, blue. New King James, yellow. Green is English Standard Version. New King James Version, that's right. By far, we got this one right. Why is that? Anyone offer that? Why does United use the New King James Version? Addison, do you want to try this?
It says in the book that it was one of the easiest to understand.
It is, and it's based upon the most accurate, which would be the Old King James. So it's Old King James in modern English. You, Addison, you did your reading. Way to go. Let's go to the next question. Let's go a poll. How many days a week do you typically read or study the Bible? Oh, he's not asking this. Every day, red. Between 1 and 3 days, blue. Between 4 and 6 days, yellow. Only on the Sabbath, green. Ooh, this is a tough question. Okay, so we vary here. 4 go every day. 10 between 1 and 3 days a week. 10, 31% between 4 and 6 days a week. And 8 only on the Sabbath. So we got to get those numbers up one way or another. Because God expects us in those scriptures more often. You're on for the next one, Mr. Talbot. Another poll question. How often do you use UCG resources? Use them every day, red. I use them once a week, blue. I use them once in a while, yellow. I never use them, green. Five seconds. The most, I never use them. Wow, I'm actually kind of surprised by that. 9 and 10 got the next numbers. I use them once a week, 27%. I use them once in a while, 30%. And I use them every day. Only 2 of us use them every day, so very few. In fact, I'm going to advocate for us using those resources more often. If nothing else, that UCG app that I throw or I ask you to throw on your phone, just putting that in your phone and tapping it, they'll talk to you like it's the radio. And at least you're getting God's word in on the way to work or back. Let's go to the next question. Poll, 8 of 10. Have you completed UCG's Bible study course? If you haven't, you probably guess what I'm about to follow up with. 12 lessons that teach you everything. And if you go to Australia's website, they have it electronic and you can take the test, UCG Australia, electronically. Red is yes, no. No. So we have 28 people that I'm about to sign up to this Bible study course. Because this course is good. And if you, again, you prefer to take this online electronically, UCG Australia has automated all of this. They've been migrating that information over to our website. I've been able to go to UCG, our home site here in the States, the international site, and they've been showing up there. If you go to UCG again, Australia, they have the entire course and electronic tests online. So 28 of you, whoever you are, we need to take this course. This is totally worth it. I mean, you now have a Bible study plan, whether you know this, for the next year. If we go one course a month, it's completely worth your time. Let's go to question 9. 9. Why have you not completed it? Oh, he's asking this. Red is I have completed it. Blue is I don't need it. I don't see the need. Yellow is I intend to. I just haven't had time. Green is UCG has a Bible study course. I'm in. Four, three, two, one. Okay, some don't see the need. You have completed it, 3 of us. Still the bulk of us need to. Intend to, or you've just learned of us. 11 of us just got the news. The email is, we have a UCG Bible study course that's worth your time. Let's go to the last question, if you will, Mr. Talbot. Did you find it helpful to have a booklet assigned to read for Bible study today? Let's go yes, no. Red is yes, blue is no, nothing to do with political party affiliations. I think that's so funny when I come in here and they're red and blue like that. Ten seconds, unless we all answer before that time. Twenty-five of us, yes. Seven said no. So the bulk of us, it looks like about three times as many, 78%, said that this was constructive. So it gives me feedback. Now, whether you know it or not, this is now taking all the information in Kahoot, and I can use this information as we go forward. In fact, whether you know this or not, I now have your phone number, your credit card. No, I don't. No. But I have the data anonymously and confidentially stored. Okay, so this was a good help because this gives me some sense of kind of where we're working, what we're working with each day. It should hopefully incentivize us, motivate us to kind of make some steps even as we go forward if we can do a little bit better. Would you do me a favor then, Mr. Talbot, and go back to BAM, whatever BAM. Oh, BAM is number three. Trainmaker, I won't even ask who this is. And you're going to hit me with Mr. Kubik. Okay, so nice. So let's go, if you will. You're going to exit out, and we're going to head for the slides. So let's now go through the content that's in this booklet, outline of the booklet itself. If you had the booklet, in fact, this is one of the questions that I aimed to pose, but I didn't pose necessarily for the Bible study. As we go forward, how many of you, I trust the whole room did, how many of you easily access the booklet online electronically? Can I go show of hands? How many of you would like to have a hard copy as we go through a booklet, say in advance? Anyone there? One, two, three. So the four, five, I'm seeing Brent's hands. Okay. Audio copy. Let me see what I can do there. You know, I've not even thought about that, Brent. Do they have audio copies? You know, okay, so you know who would have that is UCG Australia. Yeah, I think Jeff Robertson might be able to explain that one to me because you can hear those on UCG radio because they'll read the booklets to you, which is beautiful when if you just go click. Okay, so we're going to go through a general outline of the book, questions that we tease out. What I do is I convert the outline of the book into questions that we then answer. And then we'll run a summary of the questions, and then we'll do some sharing. That's where the worksheet comes in that you are all responsible for doing this overnight, this evening. So let's go, first off, I'm back on, you're right. Let's go to an overview of the booklet in terms of how should we approach the Bible. And rather than deal with all 15 principles that are there, let's just deal with five. In fact, I'll be honest with you, I pulled four of them. And one of them, which is inherent and embedded in many of those points, I just articulated separately. So first of all, recognize the Bible is God's word. Let's go to some scriptures on this. If you will, go with me to 2 Timothy 3. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3. So we're going to go through some sections of scripture that in many cases are just fundamental that we should know. If you're generating a memorization list or you're following the memorization list, that oftentimes happens at the bottom of our announcements, if you've been compiling those, and I would guess I may be the only one doing that. But if you've been doing that, here's one of our memory verses. And you remember what's here in, did I say Corinthians or Timothy? Okay, good. Thank you. 2 Timothy, we'll get this right. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. Remember what's offered here? By background, this is where, as we move forward, Paul had been writing to Timothy, and here's where he goes into a realization of how valuable God's word is. All scripture. In fact, the word oftentimes shows up here. You probably are already ahead of me. All scripture is given by inspiration from God, which means what? It comes out of the mouth of God. God breathed. You may have that in the margin noted. All scripture, what you have on your lap, came out of God's mouth. That's what this says. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. For what aim? That the man of God may be complete. Or you can put woman there. That you as a woman or a man can be complete, thoroughly equipped to do every good work, everything God desires you to do as his Father in heaven. You can do that by understanding and applying God's word. So we see this here. You remember in Matthew 4, verse 4, here's where Christ, as he dealt with his the adversary, Satan, and Satan was trying to tempt him, you know, said, turn these stones into bread. Remember what? How did Christ respond? He answered, man shall not live by, what's the rest of the sentence? Bread alone. What does he live? There we go. Brent hit the tail end of that. But by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We'll go to one more section of scripture on this in Deuteronomy 4. Because it's helpful to recognize at times that these verses show up all the way through God's word. New Testament, Old Testament, God's word is beautiful in that. There's perfect harmony. Deuteronomy 4, and we'll read from verse 5 forward. Deuteronomy 4, verse 5. It says, surely I taught you statutes and judgments. No surprise here. By background, Moses is writing. Moses was the one inspired by God to write here. Therefore, be careful to... Oh, forgive me. I'm in 5. Just as the Lord my God commanded me that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Therefore, be careful to observe them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Sometimes we'll use business cards. And when we're with someone, we'll leave a business card. I oftentimes talk about this in class. Whether you know it or not, you don't have to leave a business card for people to remember you. Because people remember you whether you leave a business card or not. They may not remember your name. They may not remember your phone number or your email address, but they remember you. So we have to ask ourselves, do they remember the human nature side of you, or do they remember God's nature side of you? Because God's nature comes from here. And there, I would love all day long to be able to just shove this in my brain, but it doesn't work that way. I can't sleep on a Bible and hope that it seeps into my brain. The only way this gets in here is by studying it. And so if we talk about recognizing that this is God's word, that's the point that's being made here. Verse 7, for what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us? For whatever reason we may call upon him, we can call him for any number of reasons. And what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as in all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and to your grandchildren. Boy, there's a charge that none of us can miss. Sometimes we can feel like, we'll dance around. No, God says directly, here's my word. Use it. Apply it. Teach it. Let it be your card. Let it be your calling card. Let people recognize that word in you. So we have to, first of all, recognize the Bible is God's word. A lot of people don't. A lot of people dismiss it. A lot of people you work with, I work with, we come in contact with, don't acknowledge it at all. We don't look down upon them. We just recognize that God's word is here. And we have a privilege of knowing it. Point 2, approach the Bible with humility. Isaiah 66. So an abundance of anything oftentimes diminishes its value. In the case of God's word, we can't allow that to be or limit how we approach God. Isaiah 66, 1 and 2. Whenever we have opportunity to read God's word or study God's word, and I think sometimes, and I can't speak to everyone in the room, I think sometimes the term study can be off-putting. But in reality, for those who happen to enjoy study or take the time to study, if you ever get a chance to study, in fact, maybe I'll relate this in another realm. Have you ever experienced, and I can ask everyone in the room this, have you ever experienced a challenge that over time you mastered and you began to think to yourself, that was well worth the investment? I didn't like that, maybe at the time. I mean, a rule of thumb sometimes that I'll even follow, and I'm carnal like you, sometimes I'll think, oh, I don't want to study today. But if you start, remember that whole notion of just start, give yourself 2 to 3 minutes to start studying. It's amazing what God can do in terms of drawing you in and you recognizing like a man or woman thirsting for something, because that's what this is. And you start to get some satiation. You start to have that desire, that need filled, that you're pulled in to study. Now, even as we will go through a second set of points about being a student of God's Word, what we have asked in God calling us, what God asks us to do is to be regular and routine in that study process, to set up those times, wherever those times are for you, morning, lunch, afternoon, evening. I don't know when those times are for you. I know when they are for me. I know when I pray first or best. I know when I study best. I know exactly when. But at the same time, you and I both have to recognize that God, as a privilege to knowing His Word, need to approach it humbly. So Isaiah 66, 1 and 2. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord, but on this will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. Why would that show up there on the tail end? Because God knows if we have a willing, supple, open heart, he can work with us. Now, you can probably think about, particularly those in the room who've had good parental relationships, where you've recognized, even though, and as kids can be forgiving, that the intent of a mom and dad, though at times can be awkward or difficult, challenging, they still want the best for you. Whatever you and I as human beings, remember back as Christ talked about, whatever we want at a human level, how much more does God desire us to have at a spiritual level? Infinitely more. So what does he want from us? He wants humility out of us. He wants an indebtedness, an appreciation, a respect whenever we go to his word. And so what we're reminded here is that in order to study God's word well, we have to be humble about it. I'll just mention here, only for sake of time, Acts 10, verses 34 and 35. He desires a right heart and a right attitude from us. And even as we have a right heart and a right attitude, he will open truths to us, open understanding to us. I'll add one more. Luke 14, verse 11 says that he rewards those who are humble. So, key 2, approach the Bible with humility. It's the Word of God. Key 3, pray for growth. 2 Peter 3, verses 17 and 18. Again, we're going to go to a number of scriptures that are just, we mention them often. They are foundational scriptures. They're memorization scriptures. Still helpful for us to go to. Pray for growth. Whenever you go to God's Word and allocate time, before you start, before I start, ask a short prayer. Say, God, please open my mind. Please open my heart to this. Please give me an understanding, a greater understanding of your truth. And you know this, and I know this. We've had this discussion many a times, and we've heard it in verses, in sermons and sermonettes many a times. You'll go and read the same section of Scripture, and you'll go, what is that doing there? I don't remember that part. I was laughing, and I talk with my dad from time to time, and I was talking to him about a message he heard recently, And isn't it funny? I think of my dad and my mom. I put them in the same category. They're not as old as Methuselah, but they're much more senior than I am in terms of years. And the amount that they're able to remember is just amazing to me. So I was talking with my dad about a message, and he said, I started reading Daniel 12:1, and it was as though it was the first time I'd ever read something. Because I began to remember or think through what it meant in terms of the end time. And here's someone who I think, you know, 55, 58 years thereabouts in terms of service in the ministry. So does God do this? Yes. What does he expect from us? Growth. Verse 17 reads, 2 Peter 3:17. You therefore, beloved, since you know these things beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. In other words, do them. Being led away with error of the wicked. If you don't know what's truth, you're deceived by anything that comes along. Verse 18 is what we oftentimes remember. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. So our responsibility is to grow. We have to ask for that. Matthew 5:48. Become you therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. I will go to one other section here, 1 Corinthians 2. And this scripture is such a wonderful reminder that what God opens to you, even as you sit in church or study on your own, is something that God's affording you, allowing you to know by his Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2. And we read this passage, but it's just a reminder here about how God teaches us. I'll start reading. Let's go back up just a hair to verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit working with you or in you, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness of him to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So you come to services, and many of us talk about this even after services. You'll get done with a message and you go, what a great message. And then I'll talk with you or someone else will talk with you. And you'll come up with a point that I've never thought of. What is that? That's God allowing you to compare spiritual things with spiritual things. He's giving you insight and understanding to his word and linking it internally in ways unique to your development that so you can be used more fully by him. 2 Timothy 2:15 talks about, I use the term stewards, that we are to be good stewards. Not ashamed, not guilty, not feeling bad, but we are to be good stewards, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what God expects of us. So that's point three, pray for growth. Point four, be willing to change. If you read, and here's the part, as human beings, we don't like to change. I'm with you on this. I don't like to change. It's sometimes hard. And Sarah will probably tell you I'm the best change person. No, I'm not. She'll say, hey, I've tried to tell you two or three or four times, and I'll go, yeah, you did. And this time I'll get it right. But as human beings, our predisposition is not to change. What God is saying is no matter, because the funny part about human beings is we are more comfortable with doing things that work for us but give us mediocre satisfaction than adjusting to something that actually will be so much better for us. We are so caught up in our own grooves, our own ways of thinking, that it's only when God starts to really open our mind and work with us that we begin to really realize how wonderful God is and how wonderful our lives can be. So even here, when we find something, we have to recognize in Scripture as God works with us in reading and studying, that God has a better way for us. Psalm 119. Let's go back here to Psalm 119. Longest chapter in the Bible. We know that, if I remember right, it's actually the midpoint of the Bible, if I remember right. Maybe it's the midpoint of the Old Testament, if I remember right, to be more accurate. And what we're going to see here are David's words. David, the one who, if we remember by background, had slept with Bathsheba, had killed Uriah the Hittite, and there he had talked about, purge me, change me, God. Remember that language that's there? Sometimes I think we can come to the conclusion God can't work with me because I'm the one loser he can't work with. Hey, God can work with any of us. God can work. God can change and use any of us in great ways as we make ourselves available to him. Psalm 119, verse 33. Psalm 119, verse 33. Again, here's David speaking, writing, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. We wonder why God viewed him as a man after his own heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn my eyes away from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. This whole section is a reminder that God is deeply desirous of working with David and any of us as we make ourselves available to him. I'll only add to this, and you can note it in your notes, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 that talks about trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. So even as we open ourselves up to Bible study, setting those times, whatever those times are, even if you're hitting 15-minute markers, and as you go, your inclination may be, oh, I don't want to do this, almost like a kid screaming in Walmart. How many of those kids do I see in Walmart? Ah! After a while, I just feel like, man, I just need to run through Walmart with a paddle. I can just whip these kids into shape. That's how the, ah! How many kids in the vegetable section? Ah! And then mom looks, no, this, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. Ah! Just think, man, just driving me nuts here. But that said, we have to be willing. When something's revealed to us, we have to be willing to change. And the booklet, How to Understand the Bible, lays this out very well. Let's go to the last one. In that God is going to change us as we submit to him, we need to thank God for his guidance. James 1. James 1. I'm going all the way to the back. Now, James 1, 17 and 18 comes to mind. Isn't that funny how the most basic things, there was a, and I've mentioned this before, there was a booklet years ago, Everything You Need to Know, you learned in kindergarten, something like that, Robert Fulghum. I don't know if you remember this. And on the tail end of the first chapter, he talks about playing nicely with people, being kind and courteous. Say please and thank you. Isn't it amazing how sometimes we can forget these things? We'll move along in life and you're annoying. I'm offended by you. How many times does this come up? It's funny. We kind of live in a society where we seem to be annoyed by everything. And at a given point, I have to ask myself, why? Are we so spoiled that everything's annoying? Have we reached that point as a society? Sad to say, I feel like we have. The line, and I don't know why this line sticks with me. How many times did I have this yelled at me in athletics in high school? Suck it up, buttercup. How many different ways did my coach, sometimes sprinkling in some rougher terms, say to me, suck it up. I don't need to hear your complaining, just do it. And at times I think we have to hear that. Because I think at times we just become so soft. Oh, no, 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 no. No, I want that one. No. Life doesn't work that way. I mean, the old adage, life is hard, then you die, that's pretty much life. The beauty is that we have a connection with God. We know where this goes. And as God reveals things to us through these points, whether they be these principles in approaching God's word, or the other 10, 11 that are there, God's giving us, he's gifting us an understanding of his truth. Just a come to me willingly, open, in order to grow. I want to make you a better person. That's what he's saying to you. How many of us wouldn't like to be better people? I think sometimes, again, we can become comfortable, and we can't do that. James 1, 17 and 18 say, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creature. God is recreating himself in you if you're willing to go there. That's what, as baptized members, we've committed to. That is the agreement we made at baptism. I'll only add one more verse to this. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Psalm 118, verse 29. So those principles, out of the 15, I pulled 5. Let's go to the middle section, and I pose the question, if we rephrase the middle section of the booklet, what are some ways to read and study the Bible? Some foundational principles that are there, I'll just mention by verse. Let the Bible interpret itself. In many cases, we can, and others might, offer some explanation. We don't interpret the Bible other than what the way the Bible interprets itself. That section in the booklet makes that clear. So John 10, verse 35, and they offer examples there. For example, 1 Corinthians 15, 47 through 49 talks about that. Additionally, another way to read and study the Bible is to seek guidance. And I offer here, obviously I can, Mr. Jerry Schallenberger can, others who are here who've been around for a while, our local leadership, and UCG has resources aplenty. I was trying to think if there was ever a question, I've had this posed to me a couple times, is there ever a question that's not answered at ucg.org? I don't think I've ever come across a question, because the amount of information there is so great. Just using that little search bar to type it in. Now, when I do that, I'm not sending you off when you would rather ask the question of me or someone else who could give that answer. But there are so many resources that are provided here. And I'll add here a section of scripture, Acts 8. Remember Philip, and I didn't read this too long ago. Acts 8, remember this background in Acts 8, verse 31. This is the eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch, the treasurer. And Philip witnesses all of this. I remember this because last time I had forgotten my name was associated with this. Oh, it's a terrible thing. Acts 8, let's go to verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went. So he's been led by God. And he rose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. And he was reading. He had his Bible open. Well, he had likely had a scroll of some sort or some kind of parchment that he was reading. And he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, he was moved by God's Spirit, go near and overtake his chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. And what we then find is Philip shares this knowledge. The beauty is, you know this, I know this, we have so many different resources. Our phones, boy, has this changed the game or what? You can answer almost anything, any question regarding God's truth by going there if you go through ucg.org. And I would direct you there principally because that information, those resources have been vetted. I honestly think you could probably listen to a sermon every hour for the rest of your life and you wouldn't get all the sermons that are on there. Because every Sabbath, if you go and look at the number of sermons that come up, they're just overwhelming. So that said, seek guidance through ministers and UCG resources. The one other thing that I'll note is to be a student of the Word, and I'm reminded here, I'm going to go back to one individual, Mr. Richard Ames, who I used to have as a teacher when I was at Ambassador College. Some of us know who Mr. Ames is, but he used to say, he told us a story one year at Ambassador College, that whenever he was at Ambassador College, that there was one individual who was a roommate of his who would sit in his room, and when he would reach a point where he couldn't necessarily, he felt like he'd hit a wall, and we all experience walls from time to time. And when I say that in terms of studying, give yourself a break, walk away, get a cookie and a cup of coffee, and come back and keep studying. But this guy was sitting in his office saying, he was yelling, because I know where those offices are in Grove Terrace. He would say, never give in, never give in, never give in. And the reason why I would pound the lecture, that's exactly how he told the story. But additionally, is his point was this, is that even as a student of God's word, we never say die. That we have to give ourselves to being students, to always learning, to always growing, to always reaching, to always seeking. And the booklet that we read this week makes that point well. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. So let's go to the last question here, the last question that the booklet offers us in general. How do we make sure that what we study sticks? How do we make sure that it's valuable? And the short answer is we live it. I have us go to Galatians 1, verses 9 and 10, and I'll go here in my Bible to that. It's easier to read it from my Bible than to read what's on the screen. Galatians 1, verses 9 and 10. Galatians 1, verses 9 and 10, and you can see what's up there. It says, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be, heavy word here, accursed. How do you know that you know God's truth? The only way you know it, and I know it, is by studying. So it's easy to be deceived if we don't study. But if we're in there, if we have our nose in it every day, that's the expectation, Acts 17:11. If we have our nose in there every day, we're not deceived when heresies or false teachings come along. Verse 10 reads, if we keep reading there, for do I now persuade man or God, or do I seek to please man? For if I still please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. So our aim is to honor God, to praise Him, to seek Him, to do His will. I'll go to one additional verse here. John 15, one additional passage. John 15, verses 1 through 5. On this point of how do we ensure that what we study, because that's what God expects of us, sticks. And here we read, even as we anticipate the Passover within the next 2 months, this section of Scripture reads, and we'll read it again in preparation for and on the Passover, I am the true vine. This is Christ speaking, red letter edition. We know this to be His voice. And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So the reminder here as a student is for us to continue to grow, to place Christ in us, the word in us. So that then takes us through the three questions. So I asked you, if we go back to our summary, I asked you to answer those worksheet questions. And I trust we have them available. I asked you 6 questions. I asked, and if you have that worksheet question, I'm going to have you pull it out here. And let's just focus on, rather than deal with all six items here, let's deal with items two, four, and six. Let's go even. I mean, that's even numbers? Evens, not odds. I got to think what I'm doing here. Go with the even numbers. I'm going to ask if you pull that out to turn to a neighbor, numbers 2, 4, and 6. And I'm going to ask that you share your answers with a neighbor. And if it's preferably someone that even, you may have shared your answers on the way here, it's to services. If it's someone that you've already shared with, go sit near. You don't have to sit on top, but sit near someone else and share your answers with this individual. And let me give you about 10 minutes to do this. Go. You're going to go share this with a neighbor. 2, 4, and 6. Because believe it or not, this was just a primer so that during coffee and fellowship that you can go back and revisit this. The aim here was to get us kind of in, to wade into these questions and to make sense of them and to start thinking through the information. What could we do with the information? How do I personally apply the information? How do I make sure that I grow more in the future? If I were to just ask, and you can give a shout out for those who happen to be online, I'm not going to hear your voices. But for those who are here, if you were going through those questions and you answered question two, what was one thing that was reinforced, new to you, that came up in the booklet that you didn't necessarily think about and you're willing to share? Anyone jump out here? Something that you that stuck out in the booklet that you found valuable? Anything? Yeah, let's go. Amanda, Doreen, Ellen. Amanda, you're on. Yeah. So if you're at home, Amanda shared that the point that was made is God desires a relationship with you, and he's really teaching us how to have a better relationship by studying his word and understanding him. Doreen, will you go next, please?
Well, having had the Bible as my main book for so many years, I appreciate when I fact that they
Yeah. And so Doreen talked about how you don't have to have God's truth in full to benefit from it. And you gave me the perfect segue to end here after Alan, whether you know this or not. Alan, what did you have, sir?
It was really more of a reinforcing fact that no matter what you read, whether you read other history books or not, that the Bible is God's word. And it doesn't matter what the most consistent book that you could ever read, because it backs itself up time and time again.
Alan mentioned that the Bible reinforces itself. It backs itself up time and time again. And it's consistent. I love that word, consistent, because it applies beautifully here. So what I'm going to ask us to do, even as we've had a chance to do this, and I got a sense for in terms of timing, how long some of this takes, even as we work through this, I'm going to ask that you take those answers, and if you're at home, that you take the answers and share them with someone else. If someone's there in the home with you, that you do that. Or you share those answers even by email and have a discussion about this via Duo or FaceTime or anything else. And we can continue the conversation here even as we head for coffee and fellowship. So, would you go back to the slides? Forgive me here. Thank you, sir. So let's go. This is what we did today. Kahoot, outline of the booklet, sub-questions, summary of those questions that we answered, and then a sharing of answers that you did. For whatever reason, can you click for me? There we go. So this is why I mentioned about Doreen. Dwight D. Eisenhower, that happens to be the individual on the far right. Our 34th president said this about the Bible. The Bible is endorsed by the ages. Our civilization is built upon its words. In no other book is there such a collection of inspired wisdom, reality, and hope. Theodore Roosevelt, our 26th president, we're going backwards here, offered the following: a thorough understanding of the Bible is better than a college education. And the individual who happens to be on the right, if you're watching us or you're in the room, Abraham Lincoln, our 16th president, said, in regard to this great book, I have but to say, it is the best gift God has given to man. So let's end here. We started with a prompt. The Bible is the world's best-selling book, yet it's described as the most misunderstood. Today we talked about why. Some are called at this time. Everyone will be given an opportunity in the future to be called. You and I have the privilege of understanding mysteries, the mysteries of God's kingdom, mysteries of God, of what's coming by God's word. We can't take it for granted. I offer the following: while some have a partial understanding, God's given you and me. Here are the keys. That's why there were keys on the front of that booklet. Keys to being a part of the kingdom of God. It's His word. Let us not take it for granted. I offer in closing, what will you do with these keys? It's up to you and me.